Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is recorded in the book of Philippians in the third chapter, beginning with the seventh verse. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here ends the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dearly beloved of God, those of you who are sports fans, maybe followers of the Colorado Avalanche hockey team, probably know that the Avs clinched a spot in the playoffs last week. And hopefully, at least for those of you who are Avs fans, they'll make a deep run into the playoffs, maybe even bring home the high prize of the Stanley Cup championship trophy. Now, whether they're good enough to do that, anyone's guess. Avs enthusiasts may say, yeah, we've got a great shot at it. I think we're going to win it all. But it might be a different team that brings home the top prize. Maybe the Carolina Hurricanes or Washington Caps or another NHL team. I guess we'll find out the coming number of weeks. Speaking of prizes, there's one that lies in store for the participants who are running in the marathon race of faith, for those who are competing for the crown of eternal life with God in heaven. It is a prize, however, that will be awarded only to those who run a smart race. Today's text from Paul's letter to the marathon race of faith runners living in the Macedonian city of Philippi highlights this truth. And it's a text the Spirit intends also for our encouragement and strengthening as present-day Christian runners. So let us give our prayerful thought to it under the theme, "The prize awaits." The people to whom Paul originally addressed this letter were members of the church that had been founded through Paul's mission labors on his second mission tour. You may recall how it happened. Under the Holy Spirit's guidance, it was about in the year AD 52 that Paul, accompanied by Silas, Timothy, and Luke, set foot for the first time on European soil. This was in response to the urging of a man Paul had seen in a divine vision who called out to him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And so it was that Paul and his companions boarded a ship headed for the Roman province of Macedonia, and the very first city they preached the gospel of Jesus at was Philippi. People like Lydia, that businesswoman, seller of purple, a warden at the prison where Paul and Silas were confined, and his family, and many others. And through Paul's gospel preaching there, a Christian church was formed. Now fast forward about 10 years. Paul was thrown in prison again, this time in Rome, and the members of the Philippian church received word about that, and so they sent one of the members named Epaphroditus to Rome, 700 miles away, to deliver some gifts to Paul, to show him their support and love, buck up his spirits. And it was at this time that the apostle took opportunity to write them a letter in which he sought to spur them on in their faith race. And he did it in the part of the letter that comprises our text by telling them, "What things were gained to me, I've counted loss for Christ. Indeed, I've counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." So Paul wrote to them about how all the things that he had once considered to be so important in his life are now less than inconsequential. The items he considered now to be rubbish, he delineates in the preceding verses before our text, things like his Jewish pedigree and his being a card-carrying Pharisee and his meticulous compliance to the rules of the Jewish religion and his fiery passion for persecuting Christ's church. "These are the things, my dear Philippian Christians," Paul wrote, "I used to take great pride in, but now I've come to see that winning the trophy prize of life with God in heaven is the thing that's really essential and consequential. And it's a prize that's won in only one way, by faith in Jesus, the Jesus that I preached to you when I was with you, in whom you've believed. So keep trusting in him. Surest way to miss out on the prize of life with your God and Savior in heaven is to try basing it on your track record, on your works. The surest way, in fact, the guaranteed way to obtain the prize is by anchoring your hopes in Jesus, being found in him, not basing it on righteousness which is from the law, but that which is from God by faith alone." And friend, that's Paul's message of encouragement to each one of us too, our congregation's namesake, from his prison cell at home, as it were, wants to reinforce for us this wonderful gospel truth that our eternal futures rest secure in Christ. Very important reminder, because it would be easy to fall back to the default position of the heart of all people by nature, that God will love me and receive me, he will gift me with his blessings now, and he will award me the prize of heaven later if I live right, if I do what he's directed me to do. Again, that's the way all people by nature are hardwired to think that way. So imagine if you were asked to run a poll of 10 people, maybe even lifelong Christians. What would you say is the most important part of Martin Luther's catechism of the six chief parts? Probably get some telltale answers. Perhaps some might say, maybe even the majority, well, the Ten Commandments, right? Or if you took a poll of 10 Sunday school kids, what do you need to do to get to heaven? I'm thinking that at least some of them, and again, perhaps even the majority, might say, well, you need to be good, right? So what are the correct answers to those two questions? The most important part of the catechism is the one that teaches us, and you know this, about Jesus and his work of redemption, as for example in the second article of the Apostles' Creed. What do I have to do to get to heaven? Two words, and they aren't be good. Trust Jesus. The law, the Ten Commandments, are indeed good, but since the fall, their holiness condemns us all. The commandments doom us for our sins to die, and they have no power to justify. And so it's to Jesus that we for refuge flee, who from the curse has set us free, and humbly worship at his throne, saved by his grace through faith alone. That's where our true comfort and peace is found. The one way the Bible gives for winning the ultimate trophy prize of life with Christ in heaven. And so Paul's message to us here in our text is prayer we want to pray. My soul, don't attempt to draw your life and comfort from the law. Fly to the hope of the gospel that the gospel gives, and the one who trusts that gospel promise in Christ lives. And now a second truth that we want to consider that Paul presented to the Philippian Christians in the letter that he addressed to them from his jail cell at Rome, that it's essential that you press on to receive that prize. Paul wrote, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now that's really a paradox, one of many in the scriptures. What's a paradox? Paradox is a statement on first glance seems absurd, self-contradictory, but when understood correctly and explained properly, is true. Some examples of biblical paradoxes might be, you are a rich pauper. Spiritually, before God, by nature, we are all pauper. Nothing in our hands we bring to move the Lord to accept us, and yet we are spiritual billionaires, blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's kind of a paradox. Both are true. We are strong weaklings, weak, wide open to Satan's attacks in our own strength. With might of ours cannot be done. But we've been made strong and invulnerable in Christ to the evil one's attacks so that he can harm us none. We're strong weaklings. And so to hear in our text this paradox, a paradox of truth that Paul presents, we are victors in Christ already. Christ has placed the prize of eternal life into our possession already, but we're not victors yet. We've not crossed the finish line yet. We're not standing on the top platform of the Olympic podium with a gold medal draped around our necks. But so that may be, Paul urges us, press on. Run a smart race as a Christian. It would be a mistake to slack up, to assume the victory's ours. Basketball team that's ahead 10 points with 2 minutes left and then takes it easy might end up losing the game if they think they have it in the bag. Bible examples of this actually happening, by the way. Paul wrote in his letter to Timothy about two Christians named Hymenaeus and Alexander who were on the way to the safe haven of heaven. They were running the faith race, but they suffered shipwreck, Paul wrote, of their faith. They got sidetracked, took their eyes off Jesus, did not trust on him or in him to guide the ship of their life to heaven, and they veered off the track completely, sadly. And you may remember how also Jesus spoke in one of his parables of the sower about the seed that fell on rocky soil, by which Jesus pictured those who received the word with joy at first, but they had no root, and who believed for a while, but in time of temptation fell away. Perhaps you can recall a sad example or two from your life. People that you knew one time Christians, baptized, confirmed, longtime church people who were running the race of faith well, but they got distracted, sadly, and veered off course, no longer trust in Jesus. And so we can see indeed how this matter of running our faith race in a well-disciplined way, smartly, pressing on with perseverance, is essential. Now, running a good race, a smart race, a well-disciplined race, what does that mean? What does that involve? Simply holding fast to Christ, fixing your eyes on Him throughout your pilgrimage, keeping your heavenly goal out in front of you as you peripateo, that word we've used in sermon, in your faith walk as a Christian. And it means remembering also to your great joy how Jesus pressed on and looked ahead in His race for the prize that He knew was coming. What was the prize that Jesus would get? You. The prize of you being His and joining Him in the victor's circle on the world's final day, dressed in His holiness, wearing the victor's laurel wreath upon your head. So therefore, friends, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, people like Lydia and Paul, Abraham, Moses, David, and so forth, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And as you thus fix your faith eyes upon Christ, you're going to find that His promise is wonderfully true, that even youths shall faint and be weary, young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be faint. They shall walk and not grow weary. And the Lord will also grant to you the stamina to run in the course of His commandments, the Ten Commandments, by blessing you with a strong heart, with a big heart for His praise, and provide you amidst life's troubles, which can be draining and cause us to feel weary and worn down, with renewed energy to press on with joy through the gospel refreshment He gives us in His word and sacrament, in the assurance of His forgiveness for our sins, and the promise of that eternal reward of grace that awaits. And so then, run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up your eyes and seek His face. Life with its way before you lies. Christ is the path. Christ the prize. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.